Amen. If you know He's yours and you're His, that's really what counts in these days that we're living in. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Psalm 110. Let's go back to Psalms this evening. It seemed like this is the direction the Lord's been leading us the last couple days. I won't finish this. I'll get you the introduction and maybe a verse or two, maybe three, if the Lord will help us, and I'll try to encourage you tonight just to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Would that be all right? Amen. Just to magnify the Savior tonight. In the days we're living in, I think we ought to make much of Him. Amen. These are dark, dark days, but there's nothing dark in Jesus. And I'm thankful for that this evening. I appreciate you praying for us on the Lord's Day. Had the privilege to preach out there. We was in Omito, Texas. And everything down there, everything about where we were at, really you feel more like in Mexico than you are the United States. All the cities, San Benito, Omito, Esperado, amen, all them different places makes you feel like you're in Mexico. And Bobby hearing them all talk, I get paranoid about all that. I feel like when they go speaking Spanish, I don't understand it, especially when they go laughing and snickering, makes me think they're talking about me, and I don't like that. And so I just start talking with Jack and snickering back like we're talking about them. And so what goes around comes around. But we did have the privilege to preach out there. And I'll give you maybe some story as far as from my perspective on the Lord's Day. Wasn't quite what I was planning on and expecting. And just kind of out of your element. Y'all realize what we have here is special. And we need more of the touch of God than what we have. We need more Spirit-led services, more Spirit liberty than what we have. But I am thankful for what we have, especially go somewhere where kind of you feel like they don't know nothing about that. And that's kind of where we was at on Sunday. But I tell you, Lord, let us just preach on Jesus, preach on the question that Pilate asked, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And just magnified the Lord and His saving power. And I tell you, first 15, 20 minutes or so felt like we was fighting the very gates of hell. I can't explain what happened 15 or 20 minutes in, Brother Larry, other than to tell you, y'all know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost settled us in and fell down on that place. There was a lady to my left-hand side, about 20 minutes in, began to weep. Tears began to flow from her eyes. And I'm talking about wept and cried for 30 minutes, the remainder of the message, all the way through the invitation, and acknowledged her need of Christ. I wish I could say she come down and got saved on Sunday morning. She didn't, but her name is Joanne. And I want you to pray for Joanne. Had a chance to talk to her after the service. And if I know anything about conviction, she was that close to being saved. And you pray the Lord to continue to speak to her heart and deal with her. We'll get a report here maybe in just a short time that she got things right with God. But thank you for praying for us. It's worth it all just to go give the gospel out and to give a sinner an opportunity to be saved. So thank you for praying. And we're praying about maybe even some things we can do down there in the years to come and minister there in that area. All right, let's stand together. Let's read this psalm. And we're going to get started. As soon as I read this first verse, you're going to be just blown away. You're going to be, man, I know this. I know this. And you do know it, you should know it, but let's study it again tonight together. The Bible said in verse number 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord is sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. Now, I wish I had time to get to verse 7 tonight. We'll get there next Wednesday, Lord's willing. He, that is this one that has been invited to sit at the right hand of the Lord. Amen. This one that has a rod of power and is ruling. This one that has a multitude of warriors and people with him. This one who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. This one in verse 5 and 6 that has marched forth into battle and come out the other side victorious. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Amen. Amen. I'm interested in one word tonight. I'll go ahead and give it to you. Give me just a moment to get there. But in verse number 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until. I'm interested in the word until. Until. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come, Lord, before you tonight, knowing in and of ourselves is no good thing. Lord, we ain't got anything to brag about, Lord, tonight, other than, Lord, just Jesus and what he done in our life. Lord, I pray this evening for a few moments as we began to dive into this psalm, and Lord, the significance that is here, some things that, Lord, you let us see again, and Lord, some things you've directed our thoughts unto. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to convey those truths of the Lord Jesus tonight. We pray he'd be magnified and increase in this service more and more, and that, Lord, we would be able, Lord, to put ourselves down and decrease. That, Lord, the only one that would be seen and the only one that would be heard and the only one that would be felt would be the Son of God in this service. And Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, on this midweek service for all that you do. If there's a sinner here tonight, Lord, if there's one here tonight that, Lord, is outside of the family of God, I pray tonight conviction would settle in upon them. The Holy Ghost would open their eyes and let them see the Savior high and lifted up. And Lord, I pray tonight would be a night, a glorious night of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I warn you this evening, have your Bible on your lap and get ready to burn your pages up. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture tonight, and you'll see why here in just a moment. When we come to Psalm 110, I believe we need to start tonight that David is the author of this psalm. It's not only affirmed in the heading of this psalm, as oftentimes we point out as we've been going around the psalms, preaching through them, it simply said a psalm of David. But it's not only affirmed in the heading of this psalm, if that's not enough for you, it was also affirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 22, and also by Peter in Acts chapter number 2. Psalm 110, when you began to study it, one of the interesting things about this psalm and significant things about this psalm is that it is the most quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament of all the chapters and all the verses and all the statements contained in the Old Testament Scripture. It is this psalm that is most frequently quoted in the New Testament. And we'll find out tonight that it's all about only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was sure to point out that this psalm was not about David. That's what many would argue tonight, that David is writing about himself being the ruler over the nation of Israel, going forth to conquer the enemies of the Lord. and that this psalm is about David. If you look with me for just a moment in Matthew chapter number 22, Matthew chapter number 22, notice with me in verse number 41 is where I want to pick up our reading tonight. When we look in verse number 41, consider what Jesus said. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Now he was the son of David. We know from the genealogy that was given of the Lord Jesus, even in the opening chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, he was the son of David. And so when they answered that, they answered it right. But notice what Jesus said. He saith unto them, verse 43, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And when the Lord said that, it so troubled those that heard his answer that the Bible said no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. And the point was simply made, the Lord is emphatic. At Psalm 110, it was not about King David, nor was it about King David's earthly son, Solomon. And so it's not about David. Paul, in the book of Hebrews, and y'all bear with me, you need some Bible reading and instruction tonight. Hebrews chapter number 1, and notice with me that Paul is emphatic on the fact that David, when he writes Psalm 110, it's not only not about David, but it's not about angels. It's not about angels. He said in verse number 13 of Hebrews 1, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" And if you know anything about Hebrews 1, the simple emphasis in Hebrews 1 is simply, yes, angels are mighty, and angels are strong, and angels have great ministry, but angels pale in comparison to the Son of God. And there is one that is greater than the angels. There is one that, though we were made a little lower than the angels, to which of the angels did the Lord say, "Sit thou on my right hand till I have made thine enemies thy footstool"? There was only one that my friend this could point to, and it is clear that Psalm 110 is about Jesus Christ. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and you'll see this very, very clear tonight from the message of Peter at Pentecost. Acts chapter number 2, and in verse number 29. Hear what Peter has to say. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, at the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up" who? "He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." He's seeing this before, that is David seeing this before, "spake of the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This" who? "Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Sound like Psalm 110. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same who? Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now what Peter is saying is that there's no way that Psalm 110 could ever be about David or anybody else. It ain't about a patriarch. It ain't about a powerful angel. There's only one who could qualify to meet the terms and the condition and the statement, and we'll see in a moment the very promise that is given in Psalm 110, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who Psalm 110 is about. Amen. I believe tonight with all my heart that after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said prior to his ascension, then he sat down and he began at Moses and by Moses and the prophets and even those things that are concerning the Psalms, he preached unto them all things concerning himself. I'd have liked to have been there that day when he got to Psalm 110 and began to expound to that early church things concerning himself. Amen, and I'm telling you tonight, there's only one that Psalm 110 can be about, and that is Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our blessed Savior and Lord. As several truths I believe we could draw, even from verse number one, about the Lord Jesus and how this could only be about Him. And so let's magnify the Lord Jesus in the introduction tonight. Consider the providence of Jesus that is in verse number one. A providence, I simply mean by that, for outline's sake, His deity, that He is God and He is Lord. Notice how this psalm begins. David said, amen, and according to Peter, this is what David saw. This is what David heard before Christ ever came. This had already been settled. The Lord, notice all capitalization, L-O-R-D, said unto my capital L, lowercase O-R-D, Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. Literally reading to you and I, we understand the names, the Hebrew names behind these English spellings that we have and translated to you and I. And literally, Jehovah said unto Adonai. Jehovah said unto Adonai. That is, God said unto himself. Amen. Now we know that when David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. Amen. The one that is being commanded and invited and privileged to sit in the right hand of Jehovah is none other than Jesus. Jesus is Adonai. And so literally you have the Father speaking unto the Son. And this statement, the Lord said unto my Lord, is a statement that is proof of the deity of Jesus Christ. We understand, that's found all through the Word of God. From Genesis unto Revelation, we can prove that Jesus was God. He was God from the very beginning. And even before the foundation of the world, that Jesus was God. He didn't come in the world. He wasn't one born a man and then became a God. No, friend, He is God. He is God in Psalm 110. And so we must declare tonight that He is both the Son of God and God the Son. The Lord said unto my Lord that Jehovah God the Father said unto Adonai. Amen, the Father and the Son. Do you understand tonight? that the mystery of godliness that Paul spake about. It involves a lot of things, but he said the first thing it involves is that God was made of flesh. The fact that my friend in Psalm 110, hundreds of years before Christ would ever be born of a virgin womb, and before Jesus would ever breathe air upon this earth, in a body made of flesh, fashioned like that of Adam's race, that my friend, he was God from the very beginning. Eternally God, eternally was and is, and ever shall be God the Son. And so I see the providence of Jesus. David was not God. He may have been Israel's earthly king. And he may have even been a great earthly king to them. And what a man that David was. But David was not God. Jesus excels David. And only Jesus fits into the Lord, said unto my Lord. Let me give you something here tonight I found pretty interesting to me. Maybe it will or won't be to you. In this statement of the Lord said unto my Lord, and all that is going on in chapter Psalm 110 and verse number 1, really this verse, it not only reveals in this providence of Jesus his deity, but there is, Brother Tim, a revelation of the Trinity that is at work in salvation's plan. Amen. You say, well, all I see is the Father and the Son. Well, I would ask you this tonight, knowing that it's David, Brother Mike, that is writing this. Who told David about this conversation? Who told David, amen, what was heard? And how in the world would David ever know if there was not, amen, somebody revealing this and telling David what had gone on in eternity past, and in the counsels of the Godhead, what the Father had sent unto the side. I submit to you tonight that David, by the Holy Ghost, had this revealed unto him. You find that in Matthew 22:43-44. We read it a moment ago. Had Jesus Christ said of David's writing of this, that he wasn't talking about his own, he wasn't talking about himself, and he wasn't talking about his son Solomon, that David in the Spirit, it was David in the Spirit that was able to pin this down and give record of this. And Peter gets even more dogmatic about it in his message we read a moment ago. That he saw this before it even happened in time and in space, and among men, that David was able to have this because of the Holy Ghost brought it to David. So, hallelujah, Psalm 110 and verse number 1 literally is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost revealing to David what has been, what David is able to hear. He hears by the Holy Ghost this conversation between God the Father and God the Son. I remind you tonight that our God is one, but our God manifests himself in three, we call them three persons, or in three ways unto men. And I understand that may, amen, stretch our finite minds to even try to understand it. It doesn't seem to be possible. It doesn't seem to make sense. But indeed, the Scripture teaches that that our God, though he be one, has revealed himself to you in that. In salvation's plan and in our lives and in our faith and in the family of God and in the church and even in the world as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm glad tonight Jesus is God. Amen. Somebody said, well, there's the first, second, and third person of the Trinity. I want to say tonight, amen, they're all equally God. They ain't no first, second, or third. They're all equally Godhead. And I'm thankful tonight that our God is one, revealed in three, and at work in many different and various ways in our life. He has brought us in relationship with Himself. And the Lord said unto my Lord, and so tonight I see the providence of Jesus, His deity. I've got to hurry up. I thought about this, considering this verse and this psalm. What is being said here about Jesus, consider what we'll call tonight, and we'll enlarge upon it, the provision of Jesus. The provision of Jesus. Now, when you began to look at Psalm 110 and verse number 1, and you began to see all the ways that it is quoted and expounded upon in the New Testament, here's what you're going to find, that according to Peter's message at Pentecost, and I read to you a moment ago, we won't go back to it, Psalm 110 verse number 1 is connected with Christ's death, His burial, resurrection, and ascension back into heaven. Amen. The statement that is made, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. It is all predicated on the Father sending the Son, and the Son being willing to go, and the Son being interested in doing all things that please the Father came. And my friend, born of a virgin, we acknowledge that in this season of the year, be it His birth or not, I won't argue with you about it, but we acknowledge the fact that He did come, and He did come. And thank God He was sin, and He was willing to come to where we were. But He didn't come. He didn't just come to be a good little boy. He didn't come to teach some mind-blowing lessons in life. He didn't come to tell us how to live our best life now. He didn't come to raise the dead and to heal the sick and to feed the hungry. He didn't come, my friend, just to do good among men. He came that He might, my friend, go to Calvary and on an old rugged cross, hang down His life and shed His blood and be buried in a virgin tomb, and He might rise again the third day. Amen. And I'm telling you, it was by way of that obedience unto the Father. And the Father said to His Son, sit thou on my right hand. Amen. Have a seat, Son. And He exalted Jesus Christ, amen, to His right hand as a result of the Son's obedience to the Father's will. Can I say tonight, amen, Jesus has provided, amen, redemption. He provided amid all the terms of the demands, both of the law and the message of the gospel that should be preached among all nations in Hebrews chapter number 10. If you want to look there, Hebrews chapter number 10, I'm bogging down, but that's all right. Amen. Hebrews 10 verse number 11. Here's what Paul said, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. These hyper dispensationalists, I wish, amen, they choke on that verse right where they stand tonight. The Old Testament saints were not saved by the offerings of bulls and goats and doves and lambs. They, Paul said, can never take away sins. But this man, what man? Jesus. After He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. I'm telling you today, and the Apostle Paul is driving the point home, and then all of this, the Lord saying unto my Lord, the Father and the Son and the promise and the plan, it is all predicated upon of the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul spake about in Philippians chapter number 2. And we know it well, but let me read it to you. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, that is for this cause, God also hath highly exalted him, where? To his right hand, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of who? A glory of God the Father. A one that mad friends sent him, and the one that was sent was willing and did all that was needed to be done. Amen. Paid the ransom payment. Amen. Took upon himself the punishment of our sin. Amen. I heard some yahoo, some fool. He said, when all Jesus did in the cross was pay the ransom. Amen. He go quoting all kinds of verses. Amen. Isaiah 53 said that in that moment of the cross, that the Lord Jesus took upon himself the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That is, my friend, he was punished for our sin. I don't know how all that worked. There's a side of Calvary that you and I will never know anything about. We'll never be able to understand it. You'll never fit it in your theological box. But all I know, as a sinner, and I deserve today, I was outside salvation's plan. But at the blessed old rugged cross, had Christ paid the ransom, and Christ provided in himself an escape from the chastisement of my sin. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now tonight he is exalted. The lowly one, the meek and the mild, the one that allowed men to spit upon him and curse him and pluck his beard and plow his back and crown his head with thorns and to pierce him in the hands and the feet with nails, and to strip him of his garment and to mock him and scorn him and ridicule him. That one, my friend, that hung on Golgotha's hill, that my friend laid down his life and died. I'm telling you tonight, the Father said unto his Son, when all was done and all was provided, Son, sit down on my right hand. Everything the Son has coming to him is predicated on the fact that the Son provided salvation's plan. I'm glad tonight he's my Savior. I know it's Wednesday night. I don't mean to be so doctrinal and stretch your mind. It's just what's on my heart. I'm telling you tonight, everything that lies ahead in Psalm 110, Brother Joe, it's a prophecy. It's about what is to come, and you and I are in that plan. You and I are in, we'll see if I can get there in verse 3 in a moment. Brother Larry, we're there. We're in the prophetical days that are to come. And the only reason we can be there, and the only reason that we're not in hell separated from God in the torments of his wrath forever, is that the Son of God came and provided what we needed to be saved. So when you look to heaven tonight, understand your Savior at the right hand, amen, is there because he was obedient unto death, provided salvation's plan. Notice the placement of Jesus. In case you have any doubts as to who Psalm 110 and verse number 1, and I don't think you could even up to this point, but can I drive it home? Notice what the Bible said. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. It's amazing that this statement, now we're pre-Christ. Now eternally and in heaven, he is there, and the Father, Son, Holy Ghost are all in the counsels of God.
Amen. They are having this conversation. Amen. And David is just being brought into it and exposed to it and having it revealed to him. Christ had not yet come. Hallelujah. But I want to say he did come. He did go through all that we just preached. It's amazing when you come to the New Testament how many times it speaks of the Lord Jesus in terms of repeatedly emphasizing that Jesus Christ's current placement right now today is at the Father's right hand. Y'all got your Bibles ready? All right, let's go. Let's see. Romans 8:34. Start there with me. Romans 8:34, Bible drill time. Romans 8:34. Notice here with me, the Bible said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, hallelujah. Yea, rather, that is risen again, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. Who is even at the, where? Right hand of God. That's where he is. Paul said right now in this dispensation of our time that Jesus is at the right hand of God. Look with me in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 20. The Bible said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which is his body. And he said here, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look with me here in Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. Colossians 3, 1. If you're with me, say amen. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What are we to be seeking? What direction? He said, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Sounds to me like Psalm 110 verse number 1 has its fulfillment in everything that the New Testament says about where Jesus is now. Amen. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 1 again. Hebrews chapter number 1, but look with me in verse number 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And just because I like verse number 4, being made so much better than the angels. Amen. There ain't no angel can sit on the right hand of the majesty. No angel can sit on the right hand of God. No angel durst be able to claim a mad friend placement in the right hand of the Father. And is ordained for his only Son. Amen. And that's where he is. Look with me in Hebrews 8, verse number 1. Hebrews 8, verse number 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Again in the book of Hebrews chapter number 10 verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. And again in Hebrews chapter number 12 and in verse number 2. You know this verse, many of you could quote it, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I know there's a lot of joys he had on the other side of the cross he can look forward to. I want to say, I believe of those that could be numbered, and one of the greatest joys the Son of God had on the other side of the cross, looking through on the things that caused him to endure, on the things, my friend, that caused him to bear up, and my friend, to despise his shame, but to keep walking on and to fulfill the Father's will, as that he saw that seed at the right hand of his Father, and he prayed in John 17. He said, "Oh, my Father, I pray that you and I can be reunited again as we were before the foundation of the world." He was ready to go home. He was ready to get back on his throne. He was ready to take his place. He was ready, my friend, to pay the price, and he might assume a position. Amen. Only Jesus can have the right hand of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Consider what Peter said. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now I got news for you tonight. It may look like the world leaders are calling the shots, and it may look like the UN's pulling all the strings. I've got news for you tonight. There's one at the right hand of God Almighty. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, he is in absolute control of all things. Amen. He is Lord. He is in charge. He's a mad friend calling the shots. Amen. Why? Because he's the one the Father has committed all power unto. That's why he could say right before he was ascended into that cloud, amen, look at his church and encourage him, Brother Mike, and tell them without a doubt, without, amen, listen, it was already settled. He looked at his church and said, y'all need to understand all powers given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now I'm telling you tonight, whatever's rocked your world, it ain't caused the Son of God to stumble at all. Amen. It ain't shook his throne. He ain't some old man in a rocking chair popping Valium pills, biting his fingernails off, and pulling his hair out, wondering what in the world's going on. He knows all about it. He knows, my friend, who's up and who's down, who's in and who's out. He knows all the right and all the wrong, all the good and all the bad. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad I know he's on the right hand of God. Amen. You say, I'm worried about how the election's going to go next year. Why are you worried about that? I understand we're in the world. I understand we all have preferences. I'm telling you, there's a higher power. Amen. There's a higher power in all these cheats and scoundrels. Amen. Demon-possessed politicians in our day. Amen. They only think they're calling the shots. They only think they're in charge. They only think they're big and bad. Amen. You wait till the one on the right hand of God, amen, comes back, and they got to stand before him. I'm telling you tonight, we don't have to wait till that day. We already know he's in charge. Amen. 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 They're but little bitty old pawns. Right. Being pushed around by the pinky of our Lord and Savior. Amen. He sets them up and knocks them down. So how do you know that? Because the Lord said unto my Lord. Who's my Lord? My Lord's Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Amen. And I know where he sits. And everything's all right in him tonight. Amen. You say you act like you're excited about that. I ain't going to get out the introduction. I'm sorry. Amen. I'm still in introduction. You say, preacher, why are you excited about his placement sitting at the right hand of God? Because about 26 years ago, I come to the Lord by faith, repenting of my sin. The grace of God reached down and saved me and birthed me in the family of God. Hallelujah. According to Ephesians chapter number 2, this ain't in my notes. I'm I'm preaching out of the saucer now. I done messed it all up. So just let me enjoy this. If y'all, amen, will today. And according to Ephesians chapter number 2, in that work of redemption, amen, the Lord, listen, He didn't just abracadabra me and pronounce some kind of spiritual spell over my life. Oh no, amen, it went beyond what man could see. It went beyond what I even knew was happening in that day and in that hour. It went beyond anything I felt. It went beyond all my knowledge that I can grasp. And here's what Paul said in Ephesians 2. And in the moment of salvation, and He raised us up together with Christ and has seated us in Christ in heavenly places. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm eternally secure. I got saved by grace and I'm kept by grace. It ain't of any work I've done. It ain't in anything. Listen, when I come to the Lord as a rotten, low-down scoundrel, I deserve hell as that prodigal son. Amen, that come to the Lord just trying to find mercy and begging for a little mercy. I'm glad the Father fell on my neck. I'm glad that He loved me and He, my friend, saved me that glorious day. There's a lot of things happen in that transaction. They are eternal things. They are things that do not rest in you. There are things that do not rest in me. They do not rest in your works. They do not rest in your good days or your bad days. Oh no, friend, it rests in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He accepted me when I accepted Him. Thank God He will in no ways cast those out who have been brought into Himself. And so tonight you say, preacher, why are you so excited about the placement of Jesus at the right hand of God? Because, and I can't explain it all, I'm just by faith believing the Word of God. And in Christ, I am there in Him tonight. I'm already there. Oh, my body's not there. Amen. I'm still living in this world. I had the privilege to serve the Lord in this realm. Thank God my spiritual position is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my salvation is anchored in on the fact that I'm placed in the One who is at the right hand of God. Don't get too excited about that. Amen. Amen. Lose your salvation. What a bunch of rubbish. Foolishness. Well, this is really where I was trying to get us to. I know y'all don't believe this. Amen. But look with me in the verse. Said, preacher, you said you was going to preach one word and you done preached 12. Well, y'all knew better than to believe me. All right. Sit thou, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Notice this, until. What a word. What a word tonight. I'm almost done. I won't even preach it all the way out. But the word until is a term indicating an appointed duration of time at which Christ will, according to the context of the psalm, that Christ will arise and return to claim His throne, fulfill all prophecy, and be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Until. Now the Father has already given Him this position and authority and power. But it comes with a promise. Son, sit right here for now. Glory. Son, for this moment of time, this is your place. Amen. The disciples asked the Lord one day, Tell us, when are you coming again? What is the promise of your coming? The Lord said a lot of things that day, not the least of which was he looked at them and said, there ain't no man, and not even the angels in glory, not even the Son, knows when that day has been appointed. Only the Father knows that day. Amen. Jesus was simply saying, I've just come to do what he told me to do now. Now he told me, come down here and go to the cross and put my body on it and bleed and give up the ghost and be buried and raised again and go back to where he is. Amen. Just helping anybody. Say, what's he doing right now? He's doing what the Father told him to do. Bobby's doing exactly what the Father told him to do. Sit down on his right hand. Until. You see, at this very moment, at the right hand, he is mediating for sinners. He's interceding for saints. And I believe with all my heart, he is awaiting with anticipation for his bride to be called to where he is. Woo, hallelujah. He's right now waiting for the Father to say, son, you can step out on the clouds. We'll let the trump of God blow and we'll call the redeemed home. And I want you to present your bride to me, son. We about, I believe the Father may even be saying the son, We're almost to the until time. The until time. Brother Larry, one of these days, the until is going to come. The duration of an appointed time in which Christ will be released from that seat where he sits now. I wrote it down this way. See if y'all can get a hold of it. Will y'all let me enjoy this? I've been thinking all day wanting to get to this point right here. Amen. To maybe the Lord will let it blow your mind. Y'all ready for this? Put your thinking cap on now. According to this verse, and this verse is repeated over and over and over through the rest of the Word of God, Christ's present throne right now is not his permanent throne. Thank God for his present throne. If it wasn't for him being at the right hand of God, you could have never got saved. Had it not been for him, if it weren't for him right now being at the right hand of God, you'd have no intercessor between you and the Father. When you go to pray, there'd be no intercession. You'd be in condemnation. You would be a distance and a gap between you and God. If he wasn't at the right hand of God, you and I would not have that blessed hope of the promise that he's coming to get us one day. Thank God for his present throne. But his present throne is not his permanent throne. How do you know that? Because the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I have made thine enemies thy footstool. Son, there is coming a day. Glory. I call this the promise to Jesus. This is, you got to get this. This is the Father's promise to the Son. It is, can we word it this way? It's God's promise to himself through his Son. There's coming a day, I promise you, you're going to return. Amen. Amen. This promise to Jesus in Psalm 110 is that he will be given an earthly throne of exaltation. at the time he comes again. He's coming back. I said he's coming back. Preacher, it don't look like he's coming back. I can't help how it looks. Preacher, it don't feel like he's coming back anytime soon. I can't help how it feels. All I know is that the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until that duration of time, at a point in time in which the Father is marked out, at a point in time in which the Father says, son, now is the time. Son, go get on your white horse. Son, get your crown and your saints and your bride and march forward back unto that earth. He's going to send him back, amen, to this world that crucified him and killed the Prince of Glory. He's coming back, but he ain't coming back through Bethlehem's manger. He ain't coming back to be betrayed. He's coming back to rule and to reign and attain his earthly throne. Buddy, I'm telling you, in that day, for 1,000 years, he'll sit on a throne that's on the earth. And it'll be a kingdom and a world unlike anything we've ever known. I ain't got time to preach it tonight. When that 1,000 years is over and the devil's loose for a season and deceives the nations and they try to come against the Lamb, he'll wipe them all out one last time, bring them before the great white throne judgment. That throne that he had for 1,000 years, praise God, it'll be installed in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
That's going to be his permanent throne. That's where he's going to take care of everything gone wrong in his creation. I'm glad the Lord said unto my Lord. I'm glad I know whose side I'm on. Well, I was hoping to get verse 2 and 3. Y'all don't believe that, but I really was hoping, Bobby, to get to verse 2 and 3. Really was. I'll just mention it, verse 2. This promise involves a place. Zion. Over there where there's war and bloodshed tonight and fighting over literally minuscule amounts of land. Zion. Amen. More specifically, Jerusalem. I'll tell you about it. You come back. Maybe we'll preach on this sometime Sunday. Amen. I know I can't get verse 2 through 7 done in one service, but it involves a place. Let me tell you something. It involves a people, verse number 3. Here's what the Lord said unto my Lord. He said, thy people. Thy people. See, the reason some of y'all can't get excited tonight about this is you don't understand. If you're saved, you're a part of a people that is a part of all this prophecy that is being foretold. It is a part of our glorious future. Amen. And the Lord showed me some things out of verse 3. Can I just throw them out? I'm done right here. You say, tell me about them people. Number one, there's the indication in verse number 3 that they are justified people. He talks about the day of power coming to them and them being willing, which just means to bow their knee and embrace him as he is. What is the power of God? It's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. These are justified people. Then he said, hey, they're not only justified people. I'll preach all this Sunday. They're sanctified people. They're sanctified people. They had the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Somebody said, well, I got saved 10 years later, the Lord sanctified me. You can't prove that from the Bible. Amen. Sanctification begins the moment you got saved.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a sense, according to Hebrews 10, the very moment you got saved, you got sanctified.
Amen. Amen.
Perfectly. Well, I'm striving to be perfect. In Jesus, you're already perfect.
Amen.
There are sanctified people. Oh, Lord, I'll say about that. Let me say this. There are glorified people. You look at the end of verse number 3, Brother Tim, it blew my mind today when the Holy Ghost opened this up to me. Here's what he said. He said, paraphrasing, he talked about the dew of thy youth. The dew of thy youth. In other words, there is a freshness on them. A newness. Dew in the Word of God is a type of newness. A new day. When does it do? When do you acknowledge it do? It's when a new day has dawned. You know what he's telling them? Amen. All the old and former things have passed away. Everything's new, and now they, as the people of God involved in this kingdom and this prophecy with their Savior, they now have been made like unto him. Glorified. They ain't weary, they ain't wore out, they ain't wandering, and they ain't wicked no more. Praise God, they're glorified. And I tell you, it's going to be a good day when we're glorified. Amen. Can I meddle a little bit, just because I know people keep peeking in on our services? This sinless perfection, if you could attain that, there'd be no need for glorification. I ain't saying it ain't the goal. Somebody help me. Perfection's the goal. But if you attain it in this life, there'll be no need for you to be glorified. Glorification tells us we'll never attain to what we've been saved to be. Go choke on that. I'm glad one of these days, this wretched man that I am, thank God we sing it. We sing it, this robe of flesh shall drop and rise. To cease the everlasting prize. What a day that's going to be when I ain't what I is now. Amen.